seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the parable for today. There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against him that this man was wasting his possessions. And so he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches?" So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, the beginning of this parable is pretty simple. It's just a story about a steward or a manager who is wasting or stealing the master's money. The master finds out about it and fires him and tells him to go get the books, which he does, and on the way he determines a plan. His plan is to meet all the people who owe the master money and lower their debt so that when he eventually does get fired, because, I mean, he hasn't gotten the books yet, so he's technically not fired yet. When he does get fired, then he'll be able to get another job with someone else in the community, because the master's not going to like him, but everybody else will. And then the master finds out about it. And up to this point, everything is really simple until verse 8, where it says, "And then the master commended the dishonest steward or manager for his shrewdness." That's what's confusing. When we try to apply this to our lives, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In other words, it seems like Jesus is telling us that we're supposed to be dishonest and cheat and lie and try to get away with it. So really, I think the importance of what Jesus is saying here is all wound up in that word shrewd. We have to learn and understand what that means. Because Jesus does not say he commended the shrewd manager for being dishonest. He said he commended the dishonest manager for being shrewd. So that's a very important word, and there's a very important difference between those two. So let's look a little more closely at what he does. First of all, he gets caught red-handed. And he is in the process of being fired, and the boss tells him to go get the books. Well, at this point, it's interesting. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't make an alibi. He doesn't say he's sorry. He doesn't ask for mercy. He just gets caught completely red-handed, so there's nothing he can say. And since he is too weak to dig and doesn't want to beg, he comes up with this plan. He says, "Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reduce the debt of all my master's debtors. So then they'll hire me later on." But he has to do it quickly, and he has to do it privately. He has to do it quickly before the master realizes what's happening. And you can see how quick he is here. It's a little hard to see, but in fact, it seems like he just arbitrarily lowers debt, because the debt he lowers for one is different than the debt he lowers for another. When you actually look at what the value of what was being lowered, it's the exact same amount of money. And in today's dollars, it would be $47,000, roughly. So basically, it's just say, quick, minus 47, quick, minus 47, quick, minus 47. He also does it privately. See, he doesn't just call them all together, because that will take too long, and the people might start questioning him and questioning each other. He doesn't want that. He wants it done very privately. So it's just one by one. Another interesting thing is here is he goes, when he lowers the debt for all these people, what does he do? Does he do it? No. He goes, "You write down a lower debt." In other words, he wants everything done not in his handwriting, but in their handwriting, so they can be really part of this whole thing. Well, he's right. Of course, the master finds out, like you know he's going to, and what does the master do? He has two options. Number one, he can just lower the boom on this guy and reinstate all the debt, which is not going to make people very happy. Or number two, he can absorb the debt that was dishonestly taken from him, and he can still be the most popular guy in town, and he chooses option number two. And then it says, and then he commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. So what does shrewdness mean? In this context, especially with what he says afterwards, shrewdness should really be faithfulness. See, the manager realizes that something has not happened that should have happened. When he got fired, he should have been fired immediately and thrown in prison immediately, and that didn't happen. Instead, the master sent him away to get the books. So what he has actually done there is the master, not in a huge way, but at least a small way, has shown mercy to this servant. He's shown mercy when he didn't have to. And that thin thread is all that this manager has to hold on to. And he bets his life on the entire thing that if he was merciful to me once, even in a little way, possibly he'll be merciful to me a second time. That's his thinking. That's what shrewdness is. And it's important to us to look at this because he talks about this faithfulness as riches here. He says, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? That's faithfulness. I read a lot of commentaries on how this is, try to make sense of this parable. It's kind of a negative example, right? And that makes sense. So it's like the negative lesson. So Jesus is actually telling us what we are not supposed to do. And we've all had negative lessons in our life. And trust me, those are like the most powerful lessons. We learn the best from those. I could show you my knees. I got scars. Well, I got scars all over my body. But I got a scar on my left knee and a scar on my right knee. Okay? And they both come from negative lessons. On my left knee, I was a really little kid. We were living in St. Paul, Minnesota at the time. And I was helping carry groceries in. And I walked behind the car. And the hot tailpipe hit the side of my leg. Okay? And burned me. And it's kind of interesting, too, because you know your skin moves around when you get older? Because that was on my thigh, now it's on my knee. Isn't that weird? I don't know where it'll be in a few years. But that was a lesson learned, okay? And on my right knee, it's starting to heal up, but I can still see all the scarring. I was walking out of Market of Choice with one of the really good kegs, and they're good kegs. And I tripped in the parking lot, and I had a split-second decision. Do I sacrifice the cake or my knee? And I chose my knee, okay? Cake was in perfect shape. I bled all the way home. Now, I learned very strong lessons there. Number one, never slap your thigh against a hot tailpipe. I've never done that since. And number two, if I have a choice between sacrificing my knee or a cake, don't sacrifice your knee. I mean, I know Market of Choice cakes are expensive, but not as expensive as a knee replacement. All right. Now that makes sense, okay, that this is a negative lesson. Jesus is telling us what we are not supposed to do, but it doesn't make sense when we look at verse 8 because he says he commends him. And again, why? Because the shrewdness is actually faithfulness. He understood something about his master that he may not have known before, his mercy. And he acted accordingly, betting his entire life and future on that mercy. And we've been given that same faithfulness to know and to see our God and to know and to see his mercy. And it's not just a slim thread that we can hold on to. That mercy is evident to almost everything that happens in every day of our lives. Is the mercy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's the ultimate example of this, that God sent him to save us from our sins by dying on a cross. This is what we have heard about our God and his love for us. This is a faith we have been given. And this is a faith that we can share. So like the servant in this thing, in this parable, we can go out to others who have never heard the good news, and we can share that their debt is completely forgiven. And it's not $47,000. It's all their sin has been taken away. We can live and act in confidence because we know the grace of our God. And I pray that he continues to strengthen the faithfulness in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.